Romans chapter 5. I'd like to read the first three verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 3. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that is, by Christ, also, that is, in addition to having peace with God, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, that is, not only do we rejoice in hope, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We've preached and taught from these verses many times, are really not going to spend any time in these verses. We just want to gather the thought of the message from these verses. We see in verses 1 and 2, there are some statements of fact. The statements of fact that are made are that we are justified. That's one fact. Another fact is, as a result of being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's two facts. And then we have another fact. We have access by God, or to God, by Jesus Christ. So we have three facts. In verse 2, we see an act of faith, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we have facts, we have faith, and then notice in verses 2 and 3 there is feeling as well. The feeling is that we, or emotion, we rejoice in hope the glory of God. Also, the feeling is mentioned in verse 3, we glory in tribulation. So we rejoice, we glory. So we have three things, and this is where we want to take our message this evening. We have fact, we have faith, we have feeling. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening. Fact, faith, feeling. In those three words, fact, faith, feeling, are three important factors that shape our character, that determine how we live, determine our quality of life. We all deal with these three things. Facts, faith, that is what we do with the facts as presented, and feelings, or emotions. We all have to deal with these three factors, but what is important is that we keep them in the right order. And the right order is fact, faith, feeling. That's the right order. If the order ever gets reversed, you've got a problem. You've got a problem that is going to affect your whole life. Now, most people reverse the order today. With most people, it's not fact, faith, feeling. Most people reverse the order, and they do so with disastrous and frustrating results. For most today, the order is feeling first. That'll get you in a lot of trouble. Feeling first. That's like, if you put feeling first, you're going to have about as much success that if you try to build the top story of a house before you build the foundation. You're going to fail. You're attempting to do something that cannot be accomplished. So most today, the order is feeling, fact, faith, or action. And the problem with that is that feelings become the foundation. And that presents a world of problems. And the truth is that when feelings are the foundation, facts tend to become obscure. It distorts our view of the facts. People who think with their feelings do not want to be confused with the facts. And if you present them with facts, chances are they're going to alter them. This is what happens when feelings are the foundation. And any time facts become obscured or altered, there's always going to be a wrong action or wrong reaction. For example, let's say that a person is feeling sad, feeling downcast, feeling depressed. And when a person is feeling that way, they have the ability to pick out every negative detail of any situation. And then they perceive that detail, that the negative details, those are facts to them. To them, those are facts. You see, their feelings have obscured, have altered the facts. They will either ignore or alter facts, resulting in a wrong conclusion, resulting in a wrong action. You notice, people who have feelings as the foundation, they're very rarely happy. Very rarely. They may have bursts of happiness, but for the most part, they are unhappy individuals. Because feelings can lead, again, to distortions. And the distortions create more bad feelings, more negative feelings. So people who put feeling first tend to jump to wrong conclusions. That's their tendency. For example, you're feeling down, so I'm going to give a friend a call, hoping that this friend can give me some encouragement. But when I call him, I get his answering machine. Several days go by. He does not return my call. So the person gets more depressed. And now they begin to maybe even get angry. Why isn't he calling me back? And then they begin to jump to conclusion. The conclusion they jump to is, well, some friend he is. He could care less about me. He has no interest in me whatsoever. And that's the conclusion that they jump to, which does what? Creates more bad feelings. Creates more negative feelings. But the thing is, they've jumped to the conclusion that the reason the person did not call me back is because they don't care, and that has become a fact to them. The person may be laying dead on their living room floor. You don't know. You don't know why they didn't call you back, but you jump to that conclusion. That's what happens when feelings are the foundation. People jump to conclusions and they make conclusions facts. They become mind readers. They know what everybody else is thinking. People who make feelings their foundation. So those who put feelings first have a tendency to take their feelings as evidence for the truth, when it's not the truth at all. So they're given over to emotional reasoning. You're wasting your time trying to talk to someone who is approaching an issue strictly from emotions. You might as well just keep your mouth shut, because you're going to offend that person, because all their whole reasoning is from emotions. What we need to always keep straight is that feelings are not necessarily fact. And feelings are not necessarily based upon fact. They may be based upon your perception, but feelings are not necessarily based upon fact. Now others, so there are those who put feelings first, and then there are some of God's people who put faith first without considering the facts. But the truth is, faith must rest upon some fact. Faith must rest upon the facts of God. It rests upon what God says. But the person who puts faith first without any consideration of facts is like the person who's outside and they're freezing to death. There's a house that's nice and warm that they could go into. That's a fact. There's a house sitting right there. But I'm going to stay out here in the cold and just trust God. That's what happens when you put faith and ignore the facts. The point is, you make a mess either way. If you put your feelings as your foundation, you're going to jump to wrong conclusions. If you put faith without facts, it's like the individual, I'm going to go stand out in the road. If the Lord wants me to get run over, I'll get run over. If not, I won't. That's faith without facts. The fact is, you stand in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over. That's a fact. But again, people today, I have faith, and they ignore the facts. You can't do that. So the order is facts, faith, feelings. And we want to see how this works. Now, we all know that we're going to look at a lot of verses, but the Bible is a book of facts. It is a book of facts for us. And God's facts are adamant. They are immovable. They are inflexible. They are unwavering. They are uncompromising. They are unbending. They are facts. The Bible is full of God's facts. Now, faith is a persuasion that the facts are so. Faith is me depending upon what God states has a fact. Faith is me relying upon what God states has a fact. It is me trusting God's facts. It's me surrendering to the statements of God. It is leaning upon those statements. It's resting upon those statements. It's cleaving to them. It's living in the reality of what God says. That's faith. So we have God's facts. Then we have our persuasion that the facts, just as God states, are so. And what does that do? Well, that produces a feeling. Fact, faith, and feeling. And what does that feeling produce? When you have faith in the facts of God, that gives you a feeling. That gives you a feeling of all is well. That gives you a feeling of courage. And that feeling causes you to do what is right. But when you base everything on feeling, regardless of facts, you jump to, your actions become wrong. So let's consider some facts and keep the order straight here. God's facts, our faith in those facts, and our faith in those facts produce a feeling. And no matter what else is going on in my life, if I keep these three things, fact, faith, and feeling, if I keep them in their proper order, I'll do all right. And I'll be all right. But if things begin to go wrong in my day, and I begin to feel pretty lousy about it, and now I base everything that goes on in that day, I base everything from that point on my feelings, I'm in for a miserable day. That's all there is to it. You're in for a miserable day. But let's say everything is falling apart in a day, or appears to be, but then I pick up God's word, I read one of God's facts, I believe that, that creates in me a feeling of all is well, and encouragement, and courage, and joy. My whole day's changed. Fact, faith, feeling. We have to keep those things in order. But the Bible reveals to us some facts concerning God. The fact is, God is sovereign. That's a fact. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then that's a denial of fact. The Bible states, in no uncertain terms, that God is sovereign. By that, we simply mean that God is God. That God governs the universe and all that is therein, and that God does as He pleases. That's the God that we have. That's a fact. Now notice some facts concerning His sovereignty. In Psalm 33 and verse 11. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. That's a fact. That is a statement of fact. The counsels of the Lord stand forever. Notice in Proverbs 19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. That's a fact. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That's another fact. Two facts in that verse. Then notice in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Begin reading with verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. That's a fact. There is none else. That's a fact. I am God. That is a repetition of the fact. And there is none like me. All facts. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Then notice in the latter part of verse 11, well, let's read all of verse 11. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. That's a fact. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Those are all facts. Those are all facts concerning the sovereignty of God. The Bible also tells us, the Bible presents as a fact, that God is immutable. That is, God is the same.
He is incapable of change. We read in Psalm 90 and verse 2 that he is from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's a fact. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. That's a fact. These are all facts. It is stated in the Bible as a fact that God is omnipresent. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, do not I fill heaven and earth? And he does so at the same time. He's omnipresent. It is also a fact that God is omniscient. That is, God knows everything. He knows everything. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. We read in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, that is a fact. He goes on, hell is naked before him and destruction hath no covering. Job 26 and verse 6. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 147 and verse 5. All of these are facts. He is omnipotent. That is a fact. He stated in Genesis 17 and verse 1, I am the Almighty God. That's a fact. Nothing ever changes that fact. No matter how miserable of a day I might have, no matter what may go wrong or what I perceive to go wrong in a day, nothing can change the fact I am the Almighty God. These are facts that are immovable. Facts that never, ever change. He is faithful. Know therefore that the Lord thy God is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. He is a faithful God. That is, he will not deny himself. We read in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, he is faithful that promised. These are facts. These are all facts. The Bible also declares as a fact, for God is good. That's a fact. And on and on and on we could go. But you get the point. These are all adamant facts concerning the person of God. These are facts that never change, nor can they ever be altered. They cannot even be distorted. No matter if you try to distort them in your mind, it still doesn't change the fact. Whether you believe them or not does not change these facts. These are facts. And these facts are foundational. Now, in all circumstances, and in all situations, I'm to have faith in those facts. And if I have faith in those facts, keep the order straight. God's facts, faith in those facts. Consider everything we've just mentioned about God. To have faith in those things is to be persuaded concerning them. It is to depend upon them, to rely upon them, to trust upon them, to live in the reality of them. That's faith in the facts. And what does that do? Why, when I have faith in those facts, that results in a feeling. It results in a feeling of confidence. How can you not be confident if you have faith in those facts? It results in a feeling of courage. How can you not have courage once you put your faith in those facts? Oh, but such and such happened today. Now you're going to, that whatever happens today does not alter these facts. Keep the order straight. Keep your eye on God's facts. Keep faith in those facts. Never put feeling ahead of those two things. And just go with the feelings that flow from a faith in the facts. And it is a feeling of assurance. It is a feeling of peace. It is a feeling of joy. Why, it's hard to get down when you put your faith in the facts. That results in good feelings. Secondly, there are facts concerning God's love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's a fact. That's a fact. The fact is, God's love is without beginning. God's love is without ending. Again, as we've said before, I can better understand, though I don't fully understand, I can better understand without ending than I can without beginning. And that's probably true of all of us. But his love is without beginning. That's a fact. I don't have to understand it. It's a fact. His love is without ending. It is an uninfluenced love. It is a selective and discriminating love. It is an infinite love. It is a sacrificial and invincible love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's the fact. Now, nothing can happen that can alter that fact. No matter what news I might hear tonight, no matter what may happen tomorrow, nothing can alter this fact. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Nothing can change that. Nothing. The worst thing that I can possibly imagine may happen tomorrow or tonight. But none of those things can alter this fact. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, if you and I put our faith in that fact, that produces a feeling of humility. I mean, how can you feel proud when you put your faith in the fact, I have loved thee with an everlasting love? It gives us a feeling of gratefulness. How could you not be grateful? Once you put your faith in that fact that I'm unlovable, yet God loves me with an everlasting love. Putting my faith in that fact, that gives me a feeling of gratefulness. It gives me a feeling of gratitude. It gives me a feeling of exaltation. You can't stay down too long when you put your faith in the facts. But the thing is, what we do is we get our feelings first and we distort and we begin to alter the facts in our mind. There are also facts concerning salvation. The fact is, I have eternal life as a present possession. The fact is, we already saw in Romans chapter 5 that I am fully justified by His grace. According to the book of John, I have passed from death unto life. These are all facts. I have been quickened or made alive by God. I have been made fit for heaven. I have the forgiveness of sins. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. These are facts. These are not dreams. These are not fairy tales. These are facts. The fact is, I have been reconciled to God. I have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. I have been redeemed. These are the facts. The fact is, I've been bought with a price. That I have been delivered from the curse of the law. I have been delivered from eternal death. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I have been delivered from the wrath to come. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I am a child of God. Those are the facts. And nothing can change those facts. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. I have been made accepted by God in Christ Jesus. I am privileged to have fellowship with God. These are all facts. I am a citizen of heaven. Romans chapter 5, again, we have access to the Father. What a blessing. I have entrance. A way has been opened for me to go to the Father. These are the facts. The fact is, I have a great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. I have an unfailing intercessor. I have an advocate, an attorney, if you will, with the Father. I have peace with God. I have rest for my soul. I have God for my strength. Romans chapter 8 tells me that God is for us. That's a fact. If we're saved, God is for us. We are His workmanship, preserved in Christ Jesus. We have victory through Christ Jesus, and we have a glorious future. These are all facts. These facts are unwavering. They never change. Come what may, these are the facts. These are the facts. So what if my friend didn't call me back? These are the facts. These are the facts. And when we put our faith in those facts, when we're persuaded of these things, when we depend upon these things, we rely upon these things, we're leaning upon these things, we're living in the reality of these things, the result is again a feeling. But again, the order is important. Fact, faith, feeling. And oh, when I put my faith in those facts, what a wonderful feeling I have. Again, it's a feeling of humility. It's a feeling of gratitude. It is a feeling of praise. But again, it's fact, faith, feeling. Don't reverse the order. Thirdly, there are facts concerning the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's a fact. The fact is, God's Word is perfect. The fact is, God's Word is sure. The fact is, God's Word is right and true. Those are immovable, unwavering, uncompromising, unbending facts. And when I put my faith in those facts, I then get a feeling of resolve. I get a feeling of courage. I get a feeling of conviction. I get a feeling of assurance, and I get a feeling of thanksgiving. But again, the order is important. Fact, faith, feeling. Think about the promises of God. The promises of God, and the Bible is filled with promises of God. The promises of God are to be viewed as facts. I'm afraid many times we do not view the promises as facts. When God's making a promise, He is just simply stating a fact. There are promises of comfort. There are promises of guidance. There are promises of support. These are all facts. Notice in Isaiah chapter 41, we look at some of these promises and view these promises as fact. Then put your faith in the fact. And oh, what a wonderful feeling it produces. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not. That's an exhortation. Here's a fact. The exhortation is based upon the fact. For I am with thee.
That's a fact. Be not dismayed. That's an exhortation. The fact is, for I am thy God. Another fact, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You put your faith in those facts, and then you tell me that doesn't change your feelings. Verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. That's a promise. That's a fact. I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. Here's the promise, the fact. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none. Now, what happens so often is when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, they disregard the facts and they begin to live upon their feelings. And now they're depressed. Now it's, oh, poor me. But notice the fact where he goes on, he says, and their tongue faileth for thirst. The fact is, I, the Lord, will hear them. Now, if I put my faith in that fact, that's going to create a feeling in me. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. That is, I will open rivers where there are no rivers. I will open rivers where you do not expect to find rivers. I will open rivers in high places. That's a fact. And fountains in the midst of the valleys. Again, where you do not expect to find these things. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. These are all facts. Now, when I put my faith in the facts, that changes my feeling. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When I pass through the waters, and it's not if we pass through, it's when. When we pass through the waters, we can get our minds off the fact. The fact is, I will be with thee. You can get your mind off that and base everything on your feeling, and you're going to make a mess of your life. Or you can put your faith in the fact, I will be with thee. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That's a fact. Here's another fact, verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight. That's a fact. I'm precious in God's sight. Another fact in verse 4, I have loved thee. In verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. These are all facts. But my whole point is tonight we have to put our faith in the facts. And then that creates our feelings. And what a difference that will make in our feelings. Notice also in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Says that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. That's a fact. neither is he weary. That's a fact. There is no searching of his understanding. That's a fact. He giveth power to the faint. That's a fact. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Another fact. Even the youths, which is the strongest, even the strongest shall faint and be weary. That's a fact. But again, remember the other fact, he fainteth not, neither is weary. The most strong of us will faint. The most strong of us will become weary. And the young men, the strong, shall utterly fall. Here's the promise, and it's a fact. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Put your faith in that fact. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When you put your faith in the facts, instead of letting your feelings distort the facts and alter the facts, put your faith in the facts, and all the feeling of encouragement. When I read these things, these promises, it fills me with courage and assurance and gratitude and determination to go on. When I put my faith in the facts. But when I get my feelings as the foundation, I'm not encouraged. And I don't have much determination. In fact, you put your feelings first, you may not get out of bed. You may stay there all day. But you put your faith in the facts and see what a difference it makes in your feelings. In closing, keep the order. Fact, faith, feeling. Do not build, do not conduct your life upon your feelings, but upon the facts of God. Observe the facts of God. Meditate on the facts of God. When you watch Fox News tonight and you hear all the stupidity that's going on in Washington, D.C., put your faith in God's facts. Because I guarantee you, if I watch Fox News tonight and I ignore God's facts, I'm going to go to bed angry. That's going to be the feeling that's produced. And I can get pretty hot about it. But if I keep in mind God's facts and put my faith in God's facts, I have an entirely different feeling. I may not be happy with what's going on in Washington, and I'm certainly not. But I have a different feeling when I put my faith in God's facts. So when we put our faith in God's facts, I believe we will see that there is a difference in our feelings and our actions. I've had people tell me, "Brother Dan, I cannot change the way I feel." Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. That is not a fact. I cannot change the way I feel. You put your faith in God's facts, and that'll change your feelings. I promise you, it'll change them. So, feelings do play an enormous role in our motivation. Feelings play an enormous role in our behavior. But we have to get our feelings as a result of our faith in God's facts. And that'll motivate us. And if there was ever a time
When God's people need to stay motivated, it's the day in which we live. And there's only one way to stay consistently motivated, and that is faith in God's facts. And that gives me a feeling that motivates me, encourages me, and makes me more determined every day. So keep the order straight. Fact, faith, feeling. Brother Larry, if you'd come and leave.